my shit. You brought me to the dark, yeah, so you could be my morning light. If you
good morning, good morning, everyone. Hey, how are you? Woo, it is so good to be home. Beautiful San Diego. Ah, so good. Am I okay? We're in a bar. We got this. Let's see, where do I want to start? A couple of different places. For those of you that don't know, I live in Charlotte right now, and it's 150 degrees there. It's just pretty much disgusting, and Charlotte is a wonderful place, but then you walk outside. It's just like, oh my gosh, how does people do this? But you do it, and that's a part of it. And then secondly, I've been to Southern California this weekend because I've been speaking to a unique group of people. It's called TEN, it's the Evangelical Network. And what it is, mostly made up of Pentecostal gay people. Now, that's crazy talk. I mean, that is just crazy talk. I never really experienced something like that. I mean, I kind of grew up in the Pentecostal world, more in the charismatic side of things. But to see a room full of gay men and women who are just really, really, I'm talking Pentecostal. I haven't had someone doing the charismatic shuffle next to me in years. And there was someone doing the charismatic shuffle next to me. And I was like, okay, it's still the same. It still looks the same. So, he must have been 19 years old. Come on in, brother. Must have been like 19 years old, but he was doing the charismatic shuffle. So it's been a good time. So on the way here, I was driving down from Irvine this morning, and the way here, I felt that God was telling me to change the message that I was going to preach this morning. And, you know, this thing that you can always say to God is, well, I can't do that because the notes are already in the computer at the church. I've already sent the notes. And there's no way I can change the sermon, God. And so I got here, and the computers aren't working. So it's my fault. It is. I literally thought that. Something came to mind. I'd say it. This probably would be, you know, a good thing. It felt on my heart. It would be a good thing to speak on. And I had my notes. I had everything ready for this Sunday. But I'm driving down, and this message came to my mind, and I'm like, I can't do that. They've already got the notes. I don't want to make the team up there angry, which I've done many times. Oh my gosh, they don't know what they're going to get. But literally, nothing is working. So, so let's hope God has something in store for us this morning. So here we are. We are in a very interesting time as a country, aren't we? And we are here as a country this weekend celebrating our independence as a country. And I think as people of America and where we are and what we're doing and how we journey together, a lot of us are looking at each other and going, oh my gosh, what's happening to our country, right? And I'm not talking like in an ultra-conservative Christian way. You know I wouldn't do that. But I'm talking more in a way of, I feel like we've lost our way in a lot of ways. I feel like we've lost our way. And I feel at this time that if there ever was a time that the church should step up and be the church, it's now. Okay? It's now. And when I heard that growing up, I heard it from a man by the name of Jerry Falwell. Oh, some of you got nauseous, didn't you? You got a little, You got afraid. Eric's, he's eaten probably a lot of food with Jerry Falwell, right? You hung out with Jerry Falwell, and Jerry ate a lot of food, right? It's what killed him, basically. It did. And now he's home with the Lord and hopefully at peace. But I heard growing up that the church should stand up and take office and control the government and lead in that way. And there was a huge part of my life that I believed that theology. But when we look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is the four books that we focus on as Christians, Jesus never said anything like that. In fact, Jesus said the opposite. So I want to talk about going to the other side as individuals, as a community of faith, and as a country. What does it mean to go to the other side in spirituality? It says in Mark chapter 4, it's not going to be on your screens. It's, you know, you just have to actually look at the Bible. Wait a minute, you don't bring your Bibles to church, do you? You have them on your phones, right? Yes. You have them on your phones. Well, there's, but this brother brings his Bible to church, and I love this Bible. This is what you call a man of God's Bible right here. There's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in this Bible, isn't there? Amen, yes, there is. And it's in Mark chapter 4, 35. And the evening came, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Say other side with me. Other side. Let us go over to the other side. A lot of you need to go over to the other side of something in your journey, in your life. You need a new perspective this morning.
Amen.
You need a new place. Some of you feel stuck. Hello? Some of you feel stuck in your journey. You feel stuck in your life. Some of you feel stuck in your marriage. Oh, my goodness. You feel stuck in your relationship. You're struggling. You feel stuck in your spiritual walk with God today. In fact, some of you came here this morning knowing about the spirit of independence, and your thought was, unless I experience something real today, I'm going to give up on this thing called faith. I'm going to give up on this Christianity. Well, I believe God destined you to be here today. And I believe God wants to speak directly to who you are and where you are exactly in your life right now. Now, the question is, are you open to the message of going to the other side and what God is calling you to do and the choices you need to make to go to the other side of where you are right now? That's the challenge, isn't it? It's always the challenge. Hello, church. I know we got a smaller crowd today. It's 4th of July, but we need some spiritual fireworks in here today. Okay? You need to wake up a little bit. If you are going to be a follower of Jesus, all right? If you're going to be a person who says, "I'm Christian," you need to be open to allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you directly today. Today. Right now, to allow the Holy Spirit to move you to a place of being open, that you need to make decisions that will radically change your life starting today. Wow.
I hear you, amen.
Okay, there it is. Amen. Right? You got to start today. So the other side for many of us is that having that deep relationship with God that we've had at one time, and we don't have it right now. Going to the other side for many of us is finding peace within ourselves.
That's right.
Finding peace. Going to the other side for many of us is experiencing hope. Oh my goodness. We've lost hope. Hello? We've lost hope. I've decided, I know some of you that know me personally, you're going to be surprised by this, but I've decided to fast from watching the news. Hello? I mean, I'm a news junkie. I wake up in the morning and have the news on. I go to bed watching the news, right? And I kept doing this to myself, and I kept hearing about a guy with an orange face all the time, and I kept hearing about a lady who's been in politics before I was born, and I keep hearing about all of these people and their perspectives, and I keep hearing about, I keep listening to the talking heads and the pinheads or whatever you want to call them, and I keep listening to opinions and what have you, and I have lost hope, and I had to just say, I got to make a choice. I've got to fast from the news and allow myself to be connected to the God who absolutely has hope for us and as an individual, as a community of faith, and as a country. Amen. So I moved away. So a lot of us have lost hope, right? And I'm going to tell you this, and I say this as a person who believes in change through the political system, but your hope is not in a candidate. It's not there. They're going to let you down. Oh, my goodness. They're going to let you down. So a lot of us have lost hope for the future. Going to the other side is finding harmony with our family again. Some of you are going to have to hang out with your family over 4th of July. Notice I said you're going to have to. You're going to make your own fireworks. Here's one. Going to the other side is living and finding satisfaction in what you call work. My goodness. Some of you just get up and you just hate your job. You hate it. Right? You got the Holy Ghost just moved on you or something, right? You're just like, she got excited. Maybe she loves her job so much. She's ready to go to work now. But you got to find satisfaction. And what that boils down to is that many of us, we live, you know, we work just to pay the bills. And so what's happened is that we don't have a satisfaction of who we are as a person. We don't have a satisfaction of what we are here for. We thought our job was that, and we go and do our job. And you realize, this is not what I'm about. Ta, 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 ta. That's not me. And so you've lost a hope and an excitement and a thrill of doing something. And what that is, it's called you are not making a difference. And you're lost in that, and you're struggling with that. You just get up and go to work and you come home and you sit down and the person that you're living with, you're like, okay, that person is still here. Or, okay, where's the dog? The dog is still alive. I thought the thing would die 10 years ago, right? And you're just kind of like going through the motions and you've lost your passion for life. And going to the other side today is reaching out to a God who wants to install passion in you.
Yes.
Desire in you to do and be something more than what your culture tells you you should be. Mm-hmm. You should be about the business of the kingdom of God. And when you get tired of that, come back to me and I'll give you more work to do. Right. Hello? All right, let me keep going. I'll keep going here. Eric made it very clear that you guys get out of here at 11:30. He texts me today and says, Rich, you haven't been here for a while, but we are out of here at 11:30. And I said, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. Woo. Hallelujah. Whew. I've been with Pentecostals all week. I'm on fire. And especially gay Pentecostals. Have I stressed that to you? And Jesus said to his disciples, let's go to the other side. And going to the other side for all of us is this: finding and discovering a new perspective. Finding and discovering a new perspective. So you don't necessarily have to go into your boss tomorrow and go, I quit. Don't do that. We need your tithe money. Don't quit your job. All right? Don't quit your job. Don't go in there and do that. But for all of us, going to the other side is a new perspective. And the kingdom of God and the power of the Holy Spirit can give you that new perspective starting today. And so they got into the boats, and they were going to the other side. In verse 36, for those of you that are reading the scriptures electronically or holding it in your hands, printed word on paper, it says in verse 36, there was also other. Say other.
Others.
Others. We love that word here. We love that word, others. We are the other.
Come on.
When we started, 10 years ago, it's 10 years now. Mission gathering. 10 years. Woo! My goodness, 10 years. Help me, Jesus. 10 years we started this thing. And we started mission gathering for the other.
Thank you, Jesus.
For the person who didn't feel comfortable in a traditional setting of church. For a person who was rejected by theology of the church. For a person who just didn't have any church religious stuff, baggage maybe. We started this church for people who just wanted something different, and yet in all reality, what we were doing was returning to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's what we were doing. And we started this thing 10 years ago. We didn't think we'd own a building. We never thought we'd own a building. Oh my gosh. I never thought San Diego would own a building. How much it costs to buy something here? Yeah, you do. You live here. We never thought we'd own a building. Never thought we'd be on the corner of here in North Park. Never dreamed any of this. But there was other boats with him. Different boats. But all in one sea, experiencing God in a very unique way.
Amen.
The other. Well, we all know what happened several weeks ago now. The complexity of it is still unraveling, unpacking itself. We had a young man walk into a gay bar, very similar to Riches down in Hillcrest there. I've been there many, 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 many times, my second church, right? Go down there and I've been to Pulse many times in Orlando. Went there with my sister. It was one of my sister's first gay bars I took her to. I couldn't get her out of there. I was like, Susie, we got to go home. She's like, oh my gosh, you guys know how to have fun. I said, I'm sorry, honey, you're straight. You got to get it together here. You got to pull it together. You pull yourself together. Walked in there and shot and killed so many innocent, beautiful lives. And so after that, the whole country was struggling, and we still are struggling, and now what's happening across the world, it's maddening. The world has just lost her way. And so I was asked to speak at a gathering, an interfaith gathering with Muslims and Christians, and it was in this beautiful cathedral in Charlotte, and it's this beautiful Episcopal cathedral, and I was asked to come and be on a panel and sit there, and I was sitting. It was me and then a Muslim sister and then a Muslim brother down a couple ways down as other ministers, and we were sitting there, and I was listening to their journeys. I was listening to their fear, and the whole room was full of white Southern Christians. And my Muslim brother was shaking as he's holding the mic. And he's like, hey, this is just so wrong, and this is not what my religion says. And the person next to him had to reach over and just hold him and just help him. Man, we are in a big sea of a lot of opinions on how to know and how to experience God today. And what I'm seeing here, there's a lot of boats in the sea, and yet they're all with Jesus. Let me say that again, so you can email Eric. There's a lot of boats in the sea, but they are all with Jesus.
Amen.
The disciple came to Jesus. It was John in their journey, and he said, I saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not one of us. Hello? My brother, my Muslim brothers and sisters on that stage are one of us. They're in. Because why? Because they want to make a difference for the world. They want to help the least of these. They want to be people of love. So somehow I know they are experiencing the love of Jesus. Somehow. Hello?
Amen.
And all of a sudden, you know, back in the Jesus' day, and it still happens now, people are, you know, John runs up to him and he goes, there's people doing good works, and I try to stop him because they weren't in this secret club of ours. Hello? Now, another reality of this young man is he was very conflicted about his sexuality. He was conflicted about men he was in love with or was not in love with. He did not just pick a gay bar by accident, people. He knew exactly what he was doing. It was not just hate toward America, but it was hate toward gay Americans, and it was hate that's something he was struggling with in himself. And where did he get that hate from? Religion. And religion that promotes kind of hate, that kind of discrimination, is not what Jesus was talking about. And it's not the message of Christ. And when Jesus said, stop, because if they're not against you, they're what? I need to hear it. They're for you. It's a struggle, isn't it? So I'm sitting on stage with my Muslim brothers and sisters, and I'm thinking, man, they're not against me right now. In fact, they're for me. They're for this message of hope and grace for all. Jesus is bigger. Let me say this. I know some of you are going to struggle with it. Jesus is much bigger than the last 100 years of American Christianity. A lot bigger. And what Jesus, hear me, and what Jesus and God in the flesh, did on that cross, those arms were spread very, very wide for all people to be reconciled back to the grace and the love of God. So I've got to work with my Muslim brothers and sisters. And they're not against me, they're for me. And if the church would come to a place, what I call a new perspective, of going to the other side and grab the hands of my Muslim brothers and sisters, and we move forward in the message of Jesus, and this is grace and love. Hey, they may see him as a prophet. He was an amazing prophet, right? Amen. That's who they see Jesus as. I wasn't planning on saying any of this. You with me? You okay? They see him as a prophet. Hey, that's cool. He's a prophet. For me, he's the Savior. Come on, let's go. But what's the problem?
Amen.
Whoever is not against us is for us. And though they may worship God differently than you and I, as long as they are about the business of defending those who cannot defend themselves, then we should be partners in changing their world for the better.
Hallelujah.
So after that meeting, and I spoke, and I took a Christian minister's perspective on Christianity and theology in the church, and I couldn't believe I went there with this. I said, "Listen, I want to say this to you. I want to say this to you all." The place was packed, again, full of white Southern Christian people. Ooh, they're the scariest bunch of people. There's not a lot of love from white Southern Christian people. And they're Episcopalians, which means they've got lots of money. So you got a lot going on here. And I said, I am exhausted of allowing Franklin Graham to represent my beliefs. And if the church is ever going to be the place of grace and reconciliation and love for all and transformation, I'm not talking about, let me keep going. If we're going to be this, we cannot allow Franklin Graham to represent us anymore. We have to represent Jesus. We, you and I. Well, they had a little revival. They got all excited and stood up and started clapping, and my Muslim sister high-fived me. And and what's crazy right now is that we are going to the other side. God is bringing the church to the other side, with or without us. But I thank God we are with it.
Amen.
Hello?
Hallelujah.
We're in this. And it's painful. It's so painful to be a church like this. It's not easy. It'd be a lot easier for Eric and Erica and myself and to make you feel bad every week. To make you feel like you're useless. And you better get your stuff together or you're going to burn in hell. Oh my goodness. You guys would just give a lot more, first of all. You would volunteer more because you would always be in fear. But my Bible says perfect love, which is God's love, casts out all fear. And what's happening in the church today is that the church, the institution of the church, stay with me, the institution of the church is losing its political power. And I say praise God. Because then we have a chance to really know perfect love and become the church that God has always desired for us to be since the birth of the church. And that is not political power, but servanthood. Serving the people, loving the people, always giving grace to the people. That's the body of Christ. And what's happening today? Am I doing okay? Am I all right, Rhonda? Okay. Okay. I got plenty of time. It's only 11 o'clock, people. We have so much time. What's happening today is that our more, I'm not even going to say conservative, because that's not even true. It's not about liberals and conservatives. It's not that. It's not. But it's religious leaders that want power because they feel like they can change the hearts of men and women through the power of voting, and you can't do it. You can't do it.
Thank God.
I know. And so we put our hopes in a candidate that will say anything. That will say anything. And you know what? And I'm talking about Democrats too. You are not getting off of this one. Republicans and Democrats right now, they're saying anything for the vote because, and people are like, that's my agenda, that's my agenda. The religious right, that's my agenda. The progressives on the left, Christians on, that's my agenda. You know what? I'm exhausted of these agendas, and I want Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's agenda.
Amen.
And you know what? That's happening in the church today. That's happening. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those authors writing the stories about Jesus. People are struggling because we're losing influence in the White House, or we're losing influence what they think should be the way we should go. What's happening is that the church is going to become what she was meant to be, and that is love and grace and conviction and serving the poor again. That's where we're heading. Does that scare you, Pastor Rich? We don't have these. The mega churches may eventually not exist. Oh, no, honey. I'm excited. Because you know what? When mega churches don't exist as much, little community churches will exist more. Neighborhood churches on the corner will exist more. People said, I was introduced this week as a church planter, and he said, I'm sure you're planting all these churches, and do you want them to all be, you know, super, super big churches? And that's what he said. And I said, no. I'm about the business. I feel called to plant neighborhood churches. Churches right in the neighborhood doing the business. No parking lots. No parking lots. So they're going to the other side, just like you are, just like we are, just like we are as a country. And guess what's happening? A storm. Verse 37 says a huge squall came up, furious squall came up, and it broke the waves, broke over the boat, and it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern doing what? Who knows the Bible? Who knows the story? He was sleeping. Jesus is sleeping in a storm. Now, I've been on Lake Galilee. Nancy, Phil, and I were just in Palestine, Israel, and we were on this lake. And it gets windy out there. And I'm sitting on the edge of this boat thinking that maybe this is exactly where Jesus was. Maybe this is where he walked. I'm thinking all these things. And it's really windy. My hairpiece is about to blow off. And I'm on this, and the waves were blowing and stuff, and I'm thinking this could get really nasty out here. There's a storm, and this is what's happening. And it says Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a what? A pillow, a cushion. Right here we see God sleeping. And why was God sleeping here? Because God was human, he was exhausted, and the storm comes up, and Jesus was being human. He could have been freaking out like his disciples, because the disciples woke him. Wake up, God! Right? Wake up, Jesus! Teacher, don't you care if we what? That's right. Don't you care if we perish? Don't you care if we drown? Don't you care if we go under? And right now, your prayers, for some of you, you're like, God, don't you care that I'm going under? Right now, I cannot do this anymore. I'm struggling so much. I'm exhausted. I cannot do this. I cannot be this person people think I should be. I cannot keep giving myself in this way. I cannot keep doing this job. My depression has taken me over. My regrets are pulling me down constantly. Do you not care if I perish? Perish, God, do you not care if I drown? And you know what? He does. He does care.
Glory.
Now, I got to read this to you. I want you to close your eyes. This is from the prophet Isaiah 43. And he was prophesying this as the words of the Lord. This is a message paraphrase. Don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've called your name. This is the Lord speaking, prophesying through the thousands of years. I've called your name. I know you. You're mine, the book of Isaiah says. When you're over your head, I will be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it will not be the dead end for you. And it goes on to say this, because I am God, your personal God. Yes, God cares. God cares if you are going under right now. God cares. Hello? God cares. God cared. Jesus cared about when he shook the disciple, when they shook Jesus and he woke up. They said, "We're going under. We're going under. We're not going to make this one." When Jesus got up, he rebuked the wind and he said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And the wind died down and it was completely calm.
Wow.
Oh, here we are. You showed up. I miss you. I preach in a church where we're right now in Mission Gathering Charlotte. I don't have my Toshiba right here next to me. I miss her so much. So as a person in leadership in this thing called the Progressive Christian Movement that's taken place, I have to calm my soul down because of all that's going on. But more importantly, as a follower of God, I have to find a time to do what? As it says in the book of Psalms, be still and know that I am God. And what's happening, even right now, God wants you to experience what it means to be still and know that he is your Amen. God. He is your God right now. And to be still and know that peace that when life all around you is raging and you're trying to get to the other side and that storm is taking you out, ooh, you got to let Jesus rise up within you. Stay with me, church. You've got to let Jesus rise up within you. What wakes up Jesus within us? What wakes up Jesus within us? Crying out to God. Don't you care? Don't you care? Oh, yes. God cares for you this morning. God cares for you this morning. Exactly where you are, God cares for what you're going through right now. And all you got to do is go, help me, help me, help me. And in that peace and in that love that Jesus wraps the Holy Spirit, she wraps herself around you and she reminds you, you are the child of God and nothing can pluck you from the hands of a loving Savior. But you got to cry out. You've got to cry out. Just like that baby's doing. You got to cry out. Be still and know he is God. And I want to say this to you guys. It's going to get weirder. It's going to get weirder. Things are going to get difficult. Life is difficult. Life is tough sometimes. Storms are real. Oh man, then that's when you've got to really focus in on who Jesus is. Yes. And what the Spirit of God wants to do in your life. But to do that, you have to strive to get in that boat that God is calling you to get into and go to the other side that God desires for you to get to. Now, the struggle about that is we don't know what's on the other side. That's the struggle. You've got to have this thing called commitment. Ooh, I know you millennials don't like that word. Ooh, commitment. Ah. I know Travis, my buddy over there, just got married. How many of you guys married or been married? Right? Really, you're that ashamed of it? You can raise your hand. Let your wife raise or your partner raise their hand next to you. And you're up there and it's a beautiful day or not. And I mean, it could rain. And you're standing there and you're holding your lover's hands and you're looking them in the eyes. And you're thinking, I hope I sent in that bill so we can feed everyone, right? You're thinking all the weird things, and then all of a sudden, he or she looks you in the eyes and goes, "Hello, I'm right here." right? And you look them in the eyes and you say these words of commitment. You don't know what next year is going to bring. You don't know what's going to happen in a year. You know you plan to be with that person in a year. You hope. Hello? But you got to get in that boat. You got to get in it. You got to stand there and you got to go, hey, I love you. And for better or for worse, I'm going to hang in there and I'm going to do this. I hope you love me when I get old, right? You say that in every wedding now. I hope you just love me when I get old. That's where you are. That's the commitment. That's the stand. That's where you are. And that's what it takes in experiencing true, deep spirituality. It's a commitment. We've made Christianity so light today. Oh, my goodness, it's disgusting. We've made Christianity just to pop in a CD. We don't even pop in CDs anymore. To turn it on and just get your Jesus worship fix, and we've made it so light. In all actuality, what we have to do is do what our old brothers and sisters of the early church, and now we know them as monks, we have to focus in and practice these disciplines of prayer and meditation, defining what's real and what's solid, and stay at that place so we can be prepared to go to the other side. Just like marriage, just like any successful relationship, it takes work. Why did you think God's commitment and relationship would be so easy? It's not. It's commitment. It's a struggle at times, but the reward is so great. Hello? Yeah, I think I've lost you. That's all right. And it's only 11:14. Now, it's interesting because F.G. said, wind be still, waves calm down, and everything happened. Verse 40, and his disciples, he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still, say the word still, have no faith? Do you still have no faith? We really like the Jesus that just says the things we want to hear. We love that Jesus. You know, all are welcomed. You are loved. We love that Jesus. Standing up for the sinners, standing up against the tax collector, standing against the Roman Empire. We love that Jesus. But when Jesus, it's called the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And when the conviction of the Holy Spirit says, do you still not have that faith? It's a very honest, deep question. Do you still not have that simple, childlike faith to carry you through those difficult times? Now, I grew up being told if you don't have a certain amount of faith, you are lacking. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said if you just have faith of a little mustard seed. Little mustard seed. Just a little. Just a little. If you just had a little bit, you can get to the place that you can start to journey to the other side. Now, here's something I know all you parents will relate to. If you would just have faith like a little child, right? Stumbling your way through, hitting your head, that didn't feel good, backing into something. If you just see yourself and you allow yourself to have faith, because when you're kids and they're like, oh, help me, mommy, help me, daddy, and who's there? If you just have that faith. So it's not faith that you have to know every scripture in the Bible. It's not faith that you have to hang out with Eric all the time, right? It's not all these behavior modification things. It's faith that is small and yet it is steady. And it helps you, guide you to the other side of where you've got to be. But it's a faith that calls for a commitment. It's a faith that desires to know Christ more in a very strong and deeper way. Amen. So the world is going crazy. Some of your lives are going crazy. So what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? You don't know if you're going to even have a marriage by the end of this week. You don't know. You're exhausted of your parents. They're exhausted of you. You don't know if you're going to even pay your bills this month. You're in a storm. What are you going to do? I challenge you to allow the Holy Spirit right now to wake up Jesus from within. Shake that Jesus within you. Shake that Christ, that love, that ever-giving life within you. It's there. You just need to allow the Holy Spirit to wake that up. Let's hold on. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to wake that up. But what you got to do, you have to take your eyes. Stay with me. You have to take your eyes off that storm. And you've got to focus in on this table. You've got to focus in on this table. This table is symbolic of complete love and grace for you this morning. You're listening to the voices of the storm. You're listening to the voices of people saying you are useless and worthless. Don't listen to those. That's the voices of darkness. That's the voices, as my Pentecostal brothers and sisters in Irvine would say, that's the voices of the devil. I want you to see and experience what this table represents, and that's the voice of love and hope for you right now. But you've got to call out. You have to call out to Jesus. And Jesus lifted up the bread and he said, "This is my body broken for all of humanity." And he took the wine and he poured it into the chalice. And he says, "This is the love of God that will be spilt for all." So this morning in our stations of grace, when you're given the piece of bread and they rip it off, they're just going to give it to you, or you can rip it off if you choose. Some people are really worried about germs now. You take the bread and you hold it in your hand, and you shoot that flare up to heaven. And you call out on the name of God. And you ask God to be with you right now. And to give you hope for your future. And for some of you, that means hope just to get back home and address some really big issues. Would my communion servers head up before we pray? This side here is wine. And this side here is grape juice for those who prefer. Thank you. Now, I told you that I had a message completely planned about independence and 4th of July. And I was driving down here and God said, "No.
Hallelujah.
I need you to speak to some people about going to the other side." So it's not by mistake that you're here. It's not by mistake that those things are just started working. Right? You need to do business. And this is the sacred space to do business here, because you're safe. You're safe right now. Gracious, loving God, it feels like you're asleep. It feels like when we pray, they just bounce off the ceilings. We're in this storm and the waves. It feels like it's taking us out, taking me out, taking me under. I feel like I'm going under right now. So I cry out to you. I cry out to you, please. Please, God, do not let me drown. Please, my loving Lord, I've walked with you. I've been with you. You've seen me through difficult times before. Please do not let me drown. You know what it is. You know where your situation is. Lift that up to Jesus. Give that to Jesus right now. Let Jesus speak. Let his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, speak right into your life and speak to your storm right now. Peace. Peace. Let your storm be still. And you walk right into that commitment, into that love, into that grace of what you've got to do to carry out to get to the other side. So when you get up here and you take that bread, say, Lord Jesus, I'm crying out to you. Help me get to the other side. Quiet my storm. Quiet my crazy thoughts. Quiet my soul that I may experience your love right now. Come when you're ready. My goodness, God has been ready for you. He's waiting for you this morning. Amen.